there is a, it's a sliding doors moment. It's a severance of time in the space-time continuum where you go in and they put the Doppler bands on you and, you know, oh, you've done this before and you're strapped in and they're going to monitor you. There's this moment where everyone pauses and it's like, ooh, oh, there's a heartbeat. And then they watch it for a minute and they're like, oh no, that's your heartbeat. And then we're going to need the doctor to talk to you.
Welcome back to A Fresh Story. This episode is part of a special series for October, as it is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. We are honored to hold space for these profound conversations and share these stories. These stories may be of grief, but they are also of hope, resilience, and most of all, unconditional love. As a reminder, be gentle with your heart. And if you are not able to listen to this episode at the moment, we understand and we're holding you close. These conversations will change you as they have changed us. I'll let these amazing women tell you in their own words.
Laura Malcolm is an innovator, an inventor, a founder, and a mother. Laura is the founder and CEO of Give in Kind, which is an incredibly necessary platform to help normalize support for hard life moments, and good ones too, by eliminating the overwhelm of supporters coming together to help their people through these moments. As you can imagine, over here at Fresh Starts, we're huge fans of Give in Kind. So when the chance came to talk to Laura for Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month, I jumped at it. You see, Laura is a lost mom. Her daughter, Layla, was stillborn on November 11th, 2013. And it was Layla's death that ultimately became the impetus for Laura and her husband to found Give in Kind. Laura and I talked about why community support is incredibly important during those tragic life moments, what it's like to really leave the hospital without your baby, how she honors Layla's life and spends time with her these days, and the power of Give in Kind to make sure no one feels alone during those big, hard life moments.
Yeah, so my name's Laura Malcolm. I am the founder and president of a company called Give in Kind, which is a platform for organizing support through big moments. I live in Tacoma, Washington, and I have two living sons who are 5 and 8, and one daughter who's would be coming up on 10 here next month. You know, when we talk about not talking about loss enough, right? I think that there is some awareness building around miscarriage and how that impacts people. There also is a misconception that you can hit certain safe spots in your pregnancy, and this idea that, oh, I'm 12 weeks along, I'm 20 weeks along, I'm going to bring this baby home. We all assume that we're going to. And in 2013, my husband and I had our first pregnancy. We were both thrilled, of course, to find out we were pregnant, being second marriages for both of us, both on the, you know, on the older side. I mean, I was pushing 30. I'm not now. Now I look at that and go, I wasn't older by any stretch. But he's 10 years older than me. And we were anxious. We were anxious to get started. I had been a nanny in my pre-tech career. I was somebody who was obsessed with babies my whole life. And so we found out we were pregnant and had a feeling that it was a girl. We just sensed. I'm an older sister. And right after we found out we were pregnant, we found out that my sister-in-law was also pregnant with a girl. And these would be the first girls on that side of the family. And we were due the same day, December 12th. Was our due date. She was going to have a scheduled C-section. But it was really, really special for this family that I married into. That had little boys that had been born, cousins born at the same time. And then, wow, what are the odds that there's two little girls that are going to come? And November rolls around. I'm 35 weeks pregnant, and she has dropped into place. And my husband gets a call that his grandfather has been killed in a car accident. And so we debate, what does that look like? I'm 35 weeks pregnant. Does he fly from California to Texas to go be at the funeral? And we decided, sure, 35 weeks, we're plenty safe, right? This baby isn't going to come tomorrow. So he attended his grandfather's funeral, and I was home and woke up. I was going to go watch football that day, and at a bar, sort of enjoying those last days of child-free life. And it was weird. I remember waking up in the night and poking her and being like, everything okay? Just a weird sense that something was different. And I got up in the morning, and, you know, she hadn't moved. And there's a lot of misconceptions that happen, like, oh, babies run out of space. They don't move as much. They rest up for delivery, right? These are not true. They're things that we say, but anyone who's ever been in the last days of pregnancy can tell you, no, normal, healthy babies are trying to push their way out of your stomach. It feels like they are not, you know, resting up and hunkering down for delivery. And so tried all the tricks all day long until about noon. You know, I drank juice and cold water and laid on my left side and had a Coke. And then I called my OB at from the bar at noon and said, hey, I'm having some contractions, and also there's not a lot of movement. And he said, come on in. And I was excited. How naive was I, right? I'm like, ooh, something, maybe this baby's going to come. And my sister-in-law is a NICU nurse, and she was there with me. And I'm like, no, nobody needs to come with me. Nobody needs to come with me. And as I walked out to my car, she's running up behind me, and she's like, no, I'm going to come with you. And as we pulled up to the hospital, I said to her, worst case scenario, I am having a C-section right now and James isn't here. Because I thought that was the worst case scenario. I literally not on my radar that there was anything else that would be happening, right? We had had a baby shower. The clothes were folded and clean and like ready to go, right? Everything was about how I was going to birth this baby. We had a doula. I was so concerned with, I'm going to labor at home for as long as possible, and I'm going to be in front of the Christmas tree, and I'm going to do my birthdays in December. And so this was like everything wrapped up in this little Christmas baby. And I mean, I'm sure your guests have talked about this moment, right? There is it's a sliding doors moment. It's a severance of time in the space-time continuum where you go in and they put the Doppler bands on you, and, you know, oh, you've done this before, and you're strapped in and they're going to monitor you. And there's this moment where everyone pauses and it's like, ooh, oh, no, let's just move the band. Oh, there's a heartbeat. And then they watch it for a minute and they're like, oh, no, that's your heartbeat. And then we're going to get the ultrasound machine. And then we're going to need the doctor to come talk to you. And yeah. Well, they weren't married yet. So this, at this point, this is my brother's girlfriend. So my poor brother's girlfriend is sitting there for the worst moment of my life. I mean, and I had my father passed away when I was in my 20s. So I had a moment. I had a moment where somebody, my ex-husband actually, had to come up to me and say, your dad died today. Like, that was, I've had one of those moments, right? Where life just changed. Mm-hmm. And that this was one of those, right? And they said, I'm sorry. There's, you know, your baby doesn't have a heartbeat. And you're like, well, what does it mean? What does that mean? Can you save them? You get her out right now and save her? And talk about the wailing, right? You hear, I mean, nobody wants to be, I feel for the moms who are delivering their babies, and which is interesting to think, right? Like, obviously they're feeling for me, but to be in a room on that floor and hear that sound from someone, and all I could say was like, I want my baby. There's no world where a parent should then learn, right, that they are going to have labor induced, right? There's no, people ask, do they rush you in for a C-section? No, C-sections are to save lives. C-sections are to save the lives of mothers and babies. And if a baby is not alive and the mother is not at risk, then you induce labor. And, you know, my husband's not there. He's out of town. He's at a plane. I haven't even gotten to tell him yet. So I have to figure out how I am going to call this man who, if I thought I was excited about having this baby, right? This is, my husband was adopted at birth and didn't get to know his birth family until later. And his mom had passed away shortly after he was born. So he has never gotten to see or be with either of his biological parents. So having this baby, this little bit of him that was going to come out, be taken away from him, felt, it's just devastating, isn't even right. There's no words. It's cruel. And I had to call him the day after his grandfather's funeral. And so he's with his family. He's with his biological family that he has now gotten to know. He's with his mom. And I had to tell him, like, hey, you got to step outside of the restaurant that you're at. I have really bad things to tell you. And he can't comprehend it in the same way. They were basically the only words. I spoke up until Layla was born. Her name's Layla. And then I didn't talk for a week afterwards. I was in a mode, right? I had to text. I texted my coworker. I texted my boss, like, hey, Claire, I don't know when I'm coming back to work. I, you know, had to communicate with family, and I was sort of in the mode, and my best friend was there. Everybody, you know, I needed people to bring things for me, and I was in triage mode, crisis planning mode until she was born, and then I was completely shut down. So the doctor said, we're gonna induce you, and I said, you can't, my husband's not here, and they're like, don't worry, you're not having this baby in the next hour, right? This is a long, slow, painful process and torture. And I had planned everything I could for a natural birth, and I still wanted to do that. And so they're loading me with Pitocin, and my doula is there. It's her first stillbirth. So she's working with other doulas in the community trying to get advice. And our birth teacher is there, and she's bringing, you know, books that you don't want to have on your bookshelf, but you do. She's trying to prep me with things like, you know, what do dead babies look like when they come out? Because it depends on how long they've been dead, and we don't know. So there's all sorts of things that you need to know. And so 36 hours later, she's born, and we had arranged for things like Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep is an amazing organization that photographs babies. Yep. And they came and did an amazing job, and my husband did make it, you know, and before she was born, we just laid there and cried, and they ended up convincing me not to have a natural birth because that was unnecessary. And when my doula arrived, she said that the nurses were all lined up outside my door, listening to me in the, you know, physical and emotional pain, and begging her, you need to go and tell that woman to get an epidural. like, this is unnecessary. She's torturing herself. So, and then that allowed us to spend the time that we needed, and we spent time holding her and loving her, and then it's never enough time. And then we say goodbye. She looks so much like our younger son now, who is 5. But, you know, that's the thing that people don't, I didn't know in that moment, right? I asked people, like, should I hold her? Like, what an insane question. But you don't know, right? You don't know that connection that you have. And so we're so grossed out by the idea of dead babies. Like, if we're going to be totally transparent and blunt about this, right? Like, that is horrifying to people. And yet, in that moment, so my OB, bless him, he ended up delivering my second child as well. He had said, and I don't know that this was a good thing, in that moment before she was born, he said, "We don't know what she's going to look like." And I think that scared me a little bit, right? Because it's true, we don't know, right? And there's, you know, time is not a blessing in terms of how quickly babies are born after they pass away in utero. And he called for a hat right after she was born. And so I didn't look, right? I had my head turned. And they pick her up and they put her on my chest. And the nurse is whispering to me, like, "She's perfect. She's perfect. You know, look at her." And it's so interesting because there is this moment where she is warm because she has been in my body. And I was like, in that little moment, I could just pretend there is a weight of a warm baby on your chest. That part of all of this was just like my other birth. Which then, talk about traumatic rate, is going and having babies after this experience, which is a whole nother how I ended up serving on the board of the Pregnancy After Loss Support nonprofit for 3 years, because that experience is big also. But we, she was perfect. We took pictures, dark hair, long lashes, 6 pounds, 9 ounces. Like, she would have been fine. That's the excruciating part, right? She was an almost 7-pound baby at 35 weeks. There was no cord. It was completely unexplained. Like, there was no issues with the cord. There was no issues with the placenta. All they can guess is maybe she compressed her own cord as she was descending. Like, that's how fragile this is. That is how, that's how fragile this is. Like, babies are a miracle. So we stayed with her. They did not have a cuddle cot. We stayed with her for about 4 hours. She was born late at night. I had my best friends go to my house and dig out a bag of my dad's t-shirts that I kept. And I had them bring them, and we wrapped her up in one of those. And that is what they took her in. There's decisions to make, which is also insane, right? Like, "Hi, so before you birth this baby, you have to decide what funeral home is going to pick them up. Are you going to bury them or have them cremated?" Right? I have written in the past about the differences between my dad and my daughter dying and the circumstances under which you make those decisions. And like I said, I'm a, like, all business, go into project management mode. But wow, it's different when you are in active labor. It's different when you're recovering, right? That's one of the things people don't think about with baby loss, is that you're not just grief. Like, take the worst. You are postpartum. You have given birth to a baby. You have a dinner plate wound in your body. You're lactating. and you are experiencing the worst grief, for which there are physical reminders all over your house. Like, it's the worst of the worst. It's terrible. I did it in the middle of the night. There is, you know, they talk a lot about empty arms and this aching feeling that moms have who've lost a baby. There are so many biological things at play that we don't realize, right? The way that a baby pushes their little feet on your tummy when you're feeding them, which helps massage your uterus. The way that when you breastfeed them, it causes contractions, right? All of these things are meant to help the postpartum process. They are all, again, biologically natural. And so leaving a hospital without a baby is unfathomable, right? I had my pillow. My husband wheeled me out holding my pillow in the middle of the night, like, so that no one could see me, you know? It's, and then he has to go into the mode, you know? It's like, how's Laura? So I feel for me and all of that. And I will, you know, forever be grateful that he let me completely shut down, because that was it. I was a shell. I was done. So he drove us home and tucked me into bed, and that was it. It's so hard to know. I did not know that I was supposed to be tracking kicks. And I think there are different perspectives on that, and doctors who will say, like, it matters or it doesn't matter. It absolutely matters. It absolutely matters. And I wonder if I would have known, something, right? If I were as hyper aware, if I had been looking at that pregnancy the way that I looked at my subsequent pregnancies, I bet that I would have been in the day before, because it would have felt different, right? I would have been like, ooh, she dropped. Something is different. Something is, I would have been laying down every night doing those kick counts instead of being like, oh, finally, she changed positions and I'm getting a little bit of a break. I would have woken up in the night, and instead of being like, hey, everything okay? I would have been like, okay, let's count some kicks, because something feels different. Now, that's not going to save, it's not going to save every baby, but there's an organization called Count the Kicks that is making a statistically significant difference in, I forget, they're in Ohio or Iowa, in a middle state somewhere, and they are tracking the number of stillbirths in their area, and they have made a statistically significant difference in the number of perinatal deaths. Yeah, it's, you know, it's awesome. It is. And I also want to point out, right? So I had this mix of the technology experience and the innate personality that sees this opportunity and wanted to fix something. And I did start it because of that experience. But I think that there, a lot of families who've lost a child can feel I don't want to call it a burden or an obligation, right? But they see other people doing things in the name of their children, right? I start a foundation. I do this charity thing every year. I started this company or this blog. And I think it's really important for families, for parents to hear that, like, that doesn't, you don't have to do something like that, right? This is not in any way a measure of my love for my daughter. And also, we raised venture capital for Give and Kind for the first few years. And I used to start out the pitch by telling our story, which nothing like standing in a room full of middle-aged guys and telling them about pregnancy loss to make them uncomfortable. But eventually I stopped telling the origin story and started telling the impact story. And somebody commented on it once and they said, it's, you know, this isn't her story anymore. It's now the platform's story. And all of the people that it has helped. And so in some ways, I released her from that, I guess. And that felt, you know, it's a lot to carry. It's a lot for the company to sort of be like, this was, you know, because of her. I want this to be this broad support platform. Think about that with my, you know, my kids a lot. My older son, I forget what he was making a wish, throwing a coin in a, you know, in a wishing well the other day. And he's like, you know, he uses all his wishes to wish that his sister were alive. And like, that's a lot for a little dude. I want him to make wishes that are fun for him, not trying to wish his sister back to life, which then is complicated, right? Because if we had them, the children that we lost, we probably wouldn't have the kids we had today. So I don't believe everything happens for a reason. I think there's a whole lot of inexplicable, unreasonable things that happen. So it's that's so interesting, because I think, so we're coming up on the 10th, we're coming up on her 10th birthday. And so it was November 10th that I found out she would not have a heartbeat. And it was November 11th that she was born. And for many people, 11/11 is a sign of the angels. And so I love that. And it was actually, I think, one of the nurses who pointed out, hey, you know, her birthday will be 11/11. And but we're 10 years out. And so, like, I talk about that sort of, you know, vortex of touching, the time that is for Layla today is, it's a lot less. And so right after she was born, I went to an amazing retreat for lost moms run through a group called Return to Zero, which is a movie that was made about stillbirth, a true story, turned into a Lifetime movie. And I went on this retreat for lost moms and became very close with a group of the moms and saw them every year up until recently. And then, you know, we sort of on our last reunion retreat said, gosh, we're all getting 10 years. Like, I think that people, the need for that connection or the need for the time dedicated to the children that we lost becomes less. And I, you know, that sounds, I don't want that to be taken as like we miss them any less, you know, we grieve any less. But, you know, in our life, we celebrate her birthday and my kids talk about her and, you know, her pictures hang on our walls. But, you know, the need to sort of have that that time decreases. So it's been, you know, it's been interesting over the last 10 years what that process has looked like. I mean, it's so much grace. It's so much grace and patience in the beginning. You know, as I've said, I hope that I can be hope that 10 years out. And I, you know, met wonderful people in my early days who were 10 years out from their loss. And, you know, I laugh again. I you know, love my next children so, so, so much. And they will never replace their sister. And also, gosh, it's complicated, right? I went on to have two boys after knowing that I was going to have this little girl. That those feelings are complicated and are valid, like so valid, and people will try and invalidate them, right? I have other beliefs in my own value system that people will try to invalidate because I have lost a baby. And then I think, you know, one of the things I try and do with Given Kind is like being able to be specific with your needs. Like, this is your time to say, do not talk to me. This is your time to say, text me every day, but don't expect a response. I think those, you know, that letting people know how to help when you can and directing people. Because one of the things that I've learned with Giving Kind is like people want to help. They truly do. They truly want to help. But they need some guidance around how to do that. And you are giving them a gift by letting them help you and telling them how they can help.
Laura, thank you for using your experience with loss to make sure that others don't feel alone with Giving Kind. And thank you for sharing Layla with us. We will remember her always.
A Fresh Story is produced by Fresh Starts Registry. A heartfelt thank you to all of the women who shared their stories in this special series. And a special thank you to Alex Mooney, who has been our special consultant for these episodes. If you are experiencing pregnancy or infant loss, we hope that these episodes helped you feel a little bit less alone. We love you, and we are holding you close.